brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to dive back into NBA predictions one final time with a preview of the Cleveland Cavaliers 2019-2020 season, Jay. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to talk very long if we want to just predict how the Cavs are going to do. I feel pretty confident that we're going to end up at or near the bottom of the Eastern Conference.
I definitely agree, and we kind of want them to do that, right? I mean, let's be honest. We don't want to be the eighth seed because we'll just get killed by Milwaukee or Philly. We don't want to be the ninth seed because then we won't have a very good chance at winning the lottery. And I mean, I don't know, obviously no player is going to be Zion, although Zion's hurt, but in this upcoming draft, but at the same time, we want to have, it's from what I'm gathering that this draft is pretty top heavy. I couldn't name the best player that's going to be in this upcoming draft, but from everything I'm reading, the top three or four picks are kind of where the bread is buttered in this draft. And then after that, it's going to be pretty, yeah.
I mean, historically, you want to be at the top of the draft. That's where you find the best guys. Not to say that you can't occasionally get a flyer of getting a Giannis or a Kawhi later in the draft, but those are more dumb luck than they are skill in terms of picking and drafting players. So, yeah, I think we definitely want to try to get up to the highest position that we can. And with the lottery odds being smoothed out, still your chances aren't as good as they used to be, even if you're the worst or second to worst team, as we found out this year. But you want to give yourself as many chances as you can to get to the top of the lottery. The timeline for this team, you're basically looking at the previous two rookies between Sexton and Darius Garland as being the two guys that hopefully you're going to be able to build around for the future, with maybe Kevin Porter and Dylan Windler fitting into that time frame depending on how their careers pan out. And I just think that you want to give yourself as many chances as you can to find a homegrown superstar, because as we know here in Cleveland, you're not attracting free agents to come here. You're not going to build your team, chances are, through trades. What you're going to end up having to do is find that transcendent guy in the draft that then you can keep him around for at least two contracts and hope in that time that you can build the type of team around him, that whoever that guy is, that can be successful. So, yeah, I think we want to end up as close to the bottom as we can, which I don't think we're going to have much trouble doing, barring something unforeseen, which we can maybe talk about here.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately what we want to do is get to May 19th, 2020, which is 212 days, Chicago, Illinois, draft lottery, Mike. That's all we care about. And yes, yeah, I just looked it up.
Well, good. I'm hoping that there's at least some entertainment value in this team. I'm hoping that the young guys play well and show something that they can possibly develop into quality NBA players that will have an opportunity to be part of a winning team at some point. I'm really looking for Sexton to see what he can do, A, distributing the ball, and B, defensively, if he can be better defensively. If he's not going to be better defensively, it's really, really going to be a struggle. Now, I don't know how, when you look at this team and you look at probably where they're going to finish up, I just don't know how, it's got to be really, really tough to dig in defensively when you're only going to win between, I don't know what the, I mean, I don't think their win total is going to be much higher than it was last year. So you're looking at, I'd say, a win total between 18 and 24, maybe somewhere in there. And eventually that, it makes it really tough to put in the kind of defensive effort that, you know, you want. I just hope guys don't develop bad habits defensively because of the record. And that's what I worry about. So I'd like to see Sexton, you know, continue to develop as a playmaker and then play better on the defensive end of the floor. That's what I'm looking for out of him this year.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And that's my biggest concern, is I just don't know how a backcourt of Sexton and Garland can even comprehend playing defense. I just don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong and completely off base, but I just feel like they're so undersized, and I just don't know which of those guys, when we're playing against Golden State, who's guarding Steph Curry? No one. I know there's not a lot of people in the NBA that can guard him, but I just feel like he could torch us. James Harden, once again, going to torch us. I mean, even Chris Paul will probably torch us, and I just don't know who's going to guard him. And that's my main concern from that backport. And this goes back to our conversations we had before. Like, I felt Culver was a better fit because of flexibility and size. I just don't see how Garland and Sexton are going to be able to work together and really function as a defensive unit.
Well, I had a buddy who went to the Cavs inter-squad scrimmage for the public, and he said that when Garland was standing next to Sexton, that he thought Garland was at least 4 or 5 inches shorter than Sexton when they stood next to each other. So Garland's listed at 6'2", Sexton's listed at 6'2", and he said Garland was clearly 4 or 5 inches shorter than.
Well, the NBA made it very, very strict rule that they had to be listed as their correct height.
Have we seen their correct height? I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now. Have we seen the official?
I don't know. I'll get on that while we continue to talk and let you know.
See if you can find it. See what he's officially listed as. He said it was striking how much smaller he was than Colin Sexton. So everything that you've heard, I mean, we've heard nothing but positive things about Darius Garland from different people that we've talked to throughout the league and people who, you know, have scouted the draft. And we had Matthew Maurer on, and he talked about how he really liked Garland and thought that he was going to be an excellent pro. And I hope that's the case, because, man, if he's not, and you took the fifth pick and, you know, this guy turns out to just be an average player, you know, you're looking at, it's a struggle. And I know the draft wasn't necessarily that deep, and I don't know that anybody picked behind Garland is going to be a star, but I certainly hope that he's gonna get lots of opportunities this year, I think, to be able to do stuff.
According to NBA's website, Garland's listed at 6'2".
Okay, well.
And so is Sexton.
All right, well, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I heard. So it'll be interesting to see. I guess we'll be able to judge for ourselves soon when we see them out on the floor together.
Yeah.
I don't know how they fit together. I don't know what it's going to really look like, but I hope Garland is good. We know, at least to some degree, we know that Sexton is going to be, he's going to have a role. He's going to be a player at some point in this league. I mean, he has skills. There's things that he can do. I think he's competitive. I think he's going to figure it out. I don't know what his ultimate ceiling is. I don't know if he becomes a player who can ever make an all-star team, if he's at that level or not. But I have confidence that he's going to be a good NBA player for a long time. Garland seems like that would be the same for him based on his pedigree and what people have said about him coming in. But until we see it live, I'm just not sure what that's going to look like. And then the other two guys, Porter Jr., who knows? Dylan Windler, who knows?
What about D Wade, baby? Come on.
He's a two-way guy, so we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. I'm excited to watch those. I'm excited to watch these young guys play. I hope they get lots of minutes, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
All right. So on that note, who do you think of the Cavaliers? Do you think that anyone's getting traded this upcoming season? Because I think there's at least one trade that's going to be made.
I think Love has got to be. I think they got to be considering shipping Kevin Love out. I think the organization probably is never going to say it, but their ultimate dream is for Love to play really well up and through the All-Star game and stay healthy, and then be able to package him to a contender who feels like he's the piece that puts them over the top. I think if you could lay out the season, that's what they would hope would happen. I don't know if it's going to. I don't know if he's going to stay healthy. I think if he does, I think Kevin Love will have a good year, but can he play the first 50 games without being injured? I don't know the answer to that question. And then I think there's also a decent chance that Tristan Thompson gets traded. I believe he's on an expiring contract, so
yep.
he's making like $18 million this year. So that contract is going to be attractive. Plus, I think a contender can talk themselves into Tristan being a valuable piece, which he was in our 2016 NBA championship. So I think he can still do some of those things when properly motivated. So I think a team might want to bring him out in, not just for the value of his expiring contract, but also thinking that he might be a missing piece that could fill a role off the bench for a really good team.
I'm telling you a team that I'm going to say a team that I think might be in the Tristan Thompson sweepstakes come trade deadline.
Who's that?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
I could see that. The problem is that the Lakers don't have anything left to trade, and that's the problem. They're not going to trade Kuzma. Kuzma only makes whatever, $2 million. You can't really trade. There's no way to match up those salaries, and then they don't have anything that Cavs would want. I mean, they don't have any draft assets left. So I just don't know what they would trade in order to be able to get Tristan in there. So, and I don't know who has room to bring him in or doesn't have room to bring him in, but just the fact that he's an expiring and that he does have skills that could potentially help a contender to get over the top make me think that somebody out there might want to take a flyer on him. But I don't think the Lakers can do it. I just don't think they have the assets. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I just think that he played his best when LeBron was with him, so they might make a way to make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. Maybe the Cavs buy him out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Give him away to the Lakers. Help LeBron out.
Scratch his back. Maybe he'll come back and scratch.
No. All right. Well, we'll see. I don't know. This team, I just look at the roster, and you go up and down, and there's some interesting names. Like, I think John Henson could potentially, if the team was good, I think Henson could be a positive force for the team. Brandon Knight has been, I don't know, disappointing over the course of his career, has never really lived up to the potential that people thought he had coming out of Kentucky. He's kind of not really a point guard, not really a shooting guard. What is he? But on this team, he's going to get minutes. Jordan Clarkson, you know, he loves to shoot. And I don't know that, especially in this
he loves to show up at weddings uninvited too.
That was some good Twitter action from Jordan Clarkson. I'm not sure in this environment that Clarkson, I just don't know what he brings. I hope that Clarkson gets a lot less minutes and we see a lot more of Garland and Porter Jr. and Sexton rather than running Jordan Clarkson out there. And I think Jordan Clarkson, the reality is he's still a young guy and he can score, but I don't know. To me, if you're building around these other guys, and I just don't want to see Jordan Clarkson playing 35 minutes a game, which, you know, he might be the most productive of those guys in reality. And I just don't want to watch him.
Yeah. I think he's going to get a lot. He could be a guy that could get traded too, Mike. I think he could be a sleeper candidate.
Yeah, I could see a contender talking themselves into Clarkson.
Like,
I have no idea what his
like
how many like years
my
he had
like
left
same
his contract.
Same I think he's got another year. Maybe not, but like say Miami strikes out with like the Lowry and Chris Paul. I mean, you could see Miami talk themselves into Jordan Clarkson.
You saw
right?
Deion got suspended, right?
Oh yeah, he got suspended for a game, man.
Yeah,
conduct detrimental to the team. I can't even imagine what that is.
Poor Deion. The guy that I'm really looking to see that I'd like to see him have a good year as Chetty in terms of being able to do something beyond just being an energy potential seventh man on a
like
good
fix
team.
His home. That's an inside That's story. Sorry,
insider story. I don't think we have time to get into that. But Chetty Osman, I think, really needs to step up this year and show that he can be a key piece on a quality team, as opposed to just a guy who is strictly an energy player who maybe can get some bench time if the team ever gets to be halfway decent. So I'd like to see more out of him. I thought we would get more out of him last year, and he was kind of a disappointment, at least in my eyes, last year. Didn't live up to what I hoped he was going to do. And this year I'm looking for him to step up, hopefully into more of a leadership role, play at a higher level more consistently. And I don't know. I think, to me, he could be a big key as to whether or not they win a few more games than they did last year or not. If he's good, I could see them creeping up towards, you know, the low 20s. If he's bad, they're not gonna sniff 20 games.
Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to be better. And I'm a huge Chetty fan, but
yeah, I like him too. I mean, I like his skill set. I like his skill set, but he's one of those guys that you look at him and he always seems like he's working hard. He has a bunch of different skills. He can handle the ball. He can shoot it pretty well. He's a good passer. He's tough defensively. But then at the end of the game, you look at the box score and you're like, man, he didn't really do much. Or you don't really feel like he impacted winning very much. And I'd just like to see him have a bigger impact on games and really step up and kind of take the bull by the horns. Because they really don't have anybody else at his size that is multidimensional the way he is. Like, you think about the way the league is going in terms of big guys on the wing who are 6'7" or taller that can handle the ball, that can shoot. You look at our team and we really don't have anybody who fits that bill other than Chetty. Windler is more of just strictly a shooter. He's not necessarily a slasher. All their guards are kind of undersized. They don't really have anybody on the wing who is a multi-dimensional playmaker. Chetty's the only one who fills that role or has that capability. So I'd like to see him step up into that role and take a step forward with his game this year. And I think if he does, it could help the team to be better. Now, what better means and how many wins that translates to, I'm not sure, but I'd like to see him play better.
Yep. And like you said, you mentioned you think they're somewhere in the 18 to 24 wins. I think 20 wins is right where the Cavs are going to end up, which is going to put them in the bottom of the East. And I think probably the bottom of the NBA, obviously. I don't think we'll have the worst record in the NBA this year. I think we're going to have the third worst record, because I think Charlotte's going to be abysmal. And I think I still, you know, I've heard some people have been talking about Phoenix maybe actually not being abysmal this year.
I don't think Phoenix is going to – we're way worse than Phoenix. I mean, the only caveat there is that Phoenix is in the West and they're playing a more difficult schedule than what the Cavs are playing. But if you look at Phoenix's roster, come on, they have Booker. He's a legitimate NBA player. They have DeAndre Ayton, who is former number one pick in the draft, who averaged 16 and 10 as a rookie. They brought in Rubio. I just think they have better players than we do. And I think that I'll be surprised if the Cavs finish ahead of the Suns. I think the Hornets are a team you could definitely look at that maybe the Cavs are better than.
And the Wizards, right?
And the Wizards. But, you know, you're splitting hairs there with talking about which of those teams is going to finish in last place in the East. I think we're certainly going to be right there at the bottom. I don't think we're going to get to 20. I'm going to say 19.
All right. Sounds good. Let's make it happen.
I mean, really, this year is about, like I said, it's about watching these young guys play, getting them lots of opportunities to put them in situations where they can figure out what they are, what we have. I think it's going to be interesting to watch Beeline and what his influence is, both on how they play and then how he kind of handles these young guys and then how he handles what's inevitably going to be a losing season, and whether or not these guys are truly, truly developing or whether it just becomes a culture where the losing starts to take over. And I think that's the worry with the young players when all you've been in you know, you look at this year, and now Colin Sexton, chances are, is going to be, you know, have 2 years playing on one of the worst teams in the league. And eventually, unless you're a really strong character, that stuff starts to seep in, and it just becomes hard to understand how to win when you never get an opportunity to do it. So that's what I'm going to watch for, is what Beilein can do as far as keeping the team together, making sure these young guys get lots of reps, and hopefully playing well, as Dan said the other night, playing well but taking the L, so that we do end up near the top of the draft again next year, and hopefully eventually we can find that transcendent guy that's going to give us an opportunity to creep back towards at least relevancy in the NBA.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, anything else?
No, but it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll have to maybe record a Wednesday after the first game Wednesday night. Discuss the outcome of the first game. I don't know. We'll see what happens. They play Wednesday night.
I think that's a good plan. So we're probably going to come on and talk after the Lakers-Clippers game. It's too bad Zion's not going to play that first game, but we'll be able to talk some Lakers-Clippers probably on Tuesday night. Come, that episode will go out Wednesday, and then maybe we'll put out a Cavs-centric episode again on Thursday morning after Wednesday night's game. So to everyone out there, thanks for listening to our quick Cavs preview, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
As you've listened to the Hoopheads podcast, one common topic that continually comes up in our conversations is character. I'm fortunate to be associated with the Positive Coaching Alliance, a national nonprofit movement that provides valuable tools, training, and resources for coaches, athletes, parents, and administrators that is centered around sports and educational psychology and organizational behavior research. PCA combines this research with practical advice from a national advisory board of top pro and college athletes and coaches who utilize PCA principles at the highest levels of competition. Through a partnership with our local Cleveland chapter of the PCA, we are pleased to offer a discount code to allow you, our listeners, to take a PCA online course for just $20. To take advantage of this offer, visit the store on positivecoach.org and enter the discount code HOOPHEADS20. That's HOOPHEADS20 with two capital H's. Coaches, I hope you'll take advantage of this great offer from the Positive Coaching Alliance and help us continue to grow the game.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball. We'll be right back.